SBS Radio.
Hi, Warren.
Mitch, it's fabulous to be here, and a happy Passover to you and all your listeners, and it's really great to be here. And the time has zipped by in 2019 since I last saw you before we headed off to London, and many stories and projects to share with you.
That's correct. The last time we spoke was last year, and since then you have been working on many new shows. Share it with our listeners.
Well, the first thing which I'm working on, which I'm very, very excited about, is in fact a West End of London world premiere. It's happening in November this year. It's been written by Alec Glass. It's a piece called Reputation. I've got to go back to London in August. We start casting for it and rehearsing, but we're all very excited about it. And I must tell you, it is based on a true story about plagiarism. And plagiarism, of course, is a real problem in the world that I operate in, with copyrights and music composition and everything. And basically, that's about ripping off. And the whole piece is about a girl who has written a script that has been ripped off and turned into a Hollywood blockbuster. But the interesting thing about it is based on a true story. And because of a confidentiality agreement signed between the writer and one of the big, like Miramax, like Warner Brothers, film companies, they cannot actually do a musical or play about the incident itself.
Oh.
So it's all been changed. The idea is the same about plagiarism and romance and love. It's set in the 1930s. It's in a French girl's finishing school, and we're very, very excited about that.
Nice.
So that's the first thing that is certainly occupying my mind. However, It must be said also that we are very busy, and up to us, and I've got to tell you, and a huge congratulations, in the world of cabaret, in the month of May, we're doing a series of concerts which go under the title She, and that is, of course, to celebrate, as in females, women in music in the past 60 years. And that's everybody from Sarah Vaughan, Ella Fitzgerald, Nina Simone, and on, Dusty Springfield, Lulu, etc., etc.
Wow.
We're very excited about it, so it's something to watch out for. It's coming up in May this year. And by the way, Amit, on the subject of female contributors to music theatre, I'm delighted to say that a couple of weeks ago, they had the Olivier Awards in London, which, as you know, are the equivalent of the Oscars or Tonys, but for the West End. And a very, very dear friend of mine, Sharon D. Clarke, who is an amazing performer, singer, and actress, won the Best Actress in a Musical for her fantastic performance in a musical called Caroline or Change, which I had the great privilege of seeing in London in the West End last year. And I've even got a track that Sharon and I recorded from a show that we did maybe 10, 15 years ago in the West End, which was called Lost and Found. And a track that I've got for you is, in fact, Lost and Found, which is the eponymous track from the show. So congratulations to Sharon. I'm very excited for her about winning the Olivier for Best Actress in a Musical. Lost
and Found. Sharon D. Clarke, accompanied by pianist Warren Wills, which we can hear in the background. Warren, you and Sharon go way back together, right?
Well, I'll tell you something. About 25 years ago, I was asked to be musical director of a show at the West Yorkshire Playhouse in Leeds, directed by Jude Kelly, called The World Goes Round. It's a piece by Candren Ebb, who created Chicago, Cabaret, and all kinds of amazing musicals. And it was a huge honor and a privilege for me, and we had an amazing cast, one of whom was Sharon D. Clarke. Unfortunately, Sharon had stayed in Leeds, but she couldn't actually do the show because she had a vocal injury, and her role was taken by an incredible black gospel singer called Michelle Dixon. I became very friendly with Sharon up there, and we ended up working on many, many shows and many, many recordings thereafter, one of which we did at the Bridal Theatre in London's West End, and the show was called Lost and Found. It was written by Richard Hanson, and it was primarily a lot of original songs that we did about finding and losing love and situations like that. But Sharon, from then, she went on. She was the original Killer Queen in We Will Rock You. She was one of the original Rafikis in Lion King. And she's very well known to a lot of UK listeners because she was in Holby City, which is a regular thing on the television. She was a Last Choir Standing. She was one of the judges. But it's an incredible piece. Caroline or Change, a very, very unusual piece to actually have in the West End of London, because it's such a kind of edgy, risky left-field piece to do with human rights issues set in America in the year that JFK was assassinated. She carries the show. She's the lead character, and she's amazing. But fabulous that we could actually have a chance to hear her in collaboration with yours truly doing the theme song from Lost and Found.
Warren, let's talk about other things now, like the child poverty issue and how you are planning to create something big for it.
I know there's been a lot of interesting, if you like, issues that have come up recently. We've had Extinction Rebellion, which you may have heard about here in Australia,
yep,
which was a big protest and civil disobedience by people in England, 500 of whom were arrested. And it really is political activism to bring up issues to do with climate change and extinction of the species. Well, while this has been going on, and a very dear friend of mine, John Farndon, who is the Royal Literary Fellow of Britain, was one of the men instrumental in putting together a song that 500,000 people, would you believe,
wow,
learned the lyrics to. There was a million people marching. It was one of the biggest street demonstrations ever in England's history, and it was called Extinction Rebellion. While that was going on, I'm working with a guy called Nick Kuzmanov, and we're setting up a Live Aid thing this year, July 25 to 28, in Macedonia. And it is to highlight the plight of child poverty in Eastern Europe. Now, I'm very mindful of the fact there's a lot of issues to do with poverty and famine and starvation and human rights abuse in Africa, but very little done about Eastern Europe, which, of course, for a lot of us, you know, in countries like Germany, France and England or so, is right on our doorstep. And what we're doing from the 25th to the 28th is to highlight this with a series of concerts in Bitola in Macedonia. One is at their football stadium and also at the amphitheatre. I'm putting together a young world choir, and again, based on the work that I do with socially inclusive music theatre, and we will be singing our hearts out with a rather large choir in order to highlight and focus our attentions on eradicating child poverty in Eastern Europe. All the money that is being raised from the event is going to to create and provide meals for kids who are hungry and starving in Eastern Europe. So a great cause, and that's certainly a big thing that I'm doing before we head to London.
Warren, it seems that you are really busy producing a lot of non-for-profit concerts, and they are all for a good cause, with the money being donated in different ways. Is this really your full-time job?
Well, to be honest with you, I wear two very distinct hats. And one of the hats I wear is indeed a commercial hat. And there are pieces that are in the pipeline at the moment. One is for Melbourne for next year. It is a musical written by Frank Howsam, quite a very prestigious and well-awarded international writer based here in Melbourne at the moment. It was he who wrote The Dream Lover, which was the biggest ever grossing box office piece at the State Theatre about Bobby Darin last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he has written the most touching and amazing script about Elvis Presley. That will be going on in Melbourne next year, which I'm doing the music for. I'm very, very excited about that. That is a commercial piece, but you are absolutely right. A lot of the work that I do is motivated by good causes. And in fact, last time that I was on your show, we had just finished a major undertaking, which was to commemorate the 80th anniversary of the events of Kristallnacht as seen through the eyes of an Australian Aboriginal Indigenous human rights activist, William Cooper.
Yes, I remember.
That was the focus of last year's work. This year we're looking at child poverty in Eastern Europe. And next year, to give you an advance heads up, I'm working with Upbeat Arts, and we're putting together a project which is called Home. And that's exactly what you might think it is. It's about having a home, refugees, statehood. It's also about domestic violence and being safe at home and all the rest of it. It's a very broad canvas on which to paint on, but we're setting that up at the moment. But it is a huge passion of mine, and I think it should be incumbent on all people that work in the entertainment industry to be able to combine, you know, work that goes on for the commercial side and work that goes on for the community side.
And you're also extremely busy flying London, Melbourne quite often.
Absolutely. When I head back to the UK to start casting for Reputation, that will be in August, and I will be there for the rest of the year. So effectively from mid-July to the end of the year, I'll be in London this year. Well, and I got to say that all depends on my active physical participation in our Live Aid project in Macedonia, because if I'm going to be physically hands-on there, which I will know in the next 10 days or so, that would mean being in Macedonia for probably 6 weeks. So I'll be out of this country very soon. But I got to say, it has been, since I got back from London at the start of the year has certainly whipped by. From the Australian Open tennis to the Grand Prix to the New Year to Passover and Easter, it is hard to believe we're hurtling our way almost halfway through the year already.
I would like now to ask you about the Eurovision contest in Israel. It's happening in less than 3 weeks. Your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I mean, I think it's a fantastic thing that Israel won. I think it's an amazing thing that it is being held in Israel. And I'm also very mindful of the fact that Israel is even a member of the Eurovision family is in itself quite extraordinary. But then having said that, now that Australia has become a member of the Eurovision family, and I'm sure it won't be too long before America becomes, it does beg the question as what one has to do to actually be eligible to be part of the Eurovision family. I mean, part of me thinks surely Australia should be part of, I don't know about Eurovision, but perhaps Asiavision. Nonetheless, I really do think it's an amazing thing that the Eurovision is being held in Israel this year. And it doesn't seem like so long ago when you had Dana International and quite a number of other Israeli acts that seemed to win Eurovision on a regular basis.
That is true. And now also Madonna.
I heard she comes with an enormous entourage and an enormous prize tag. But yes, I certainly did hear that. Am I right in thinking it's one lone benefactor who is actually financing her to come over to Israel to perform?
Can you guess how much she was paid to perform? Can you guess?
I go, it's $1 million+.
You are right. $1 million.
Yeah. Again, I mean, I've had some experience in booking a large name acts, and I'm not unaccustomed to £1 million or €1 million being the price tag for a lot of these artists. She's not certainly doing it as a mission of love. She's doing it as a commercial thing. But I think, listen, it'll bring great attention to Eurovision as an event outside of the normal Eurovision families. And that can only further, the prestige and the publicity for the event and also the profile of Israel on the international stage.
Warren, last question. Who would you like to see yourself working with in the future? It can be any producer or singer in the world.
Well, I tell you, someone I am an absolute huge fan of, a massive, massive fan. And I'm delighted to say that there is a tour celebrating the work of this performer arriving on the shores of Australia on May 11th. And I'm referring, of course, to the late, great, and much-missed David Bowie. And I've always been a fan of David Bowie, and I had the incredibly good fortune about 5 years ago in New York. I was doing a show there that I composed, and my musical director was Mike Garson. Mike was David Bowie's musical director for the past 40 years. And during that time, he was the musical director on Ziggy Stardust, on Aladdin Sane, and a lot of the big, big songs and albums that Bowie did right back to the 70s. Well, Mike is on a world tour at the moment doing a David Bowie show because there is so much interest in the works of David Bowie. He is certainly someone I would love to be doing his work. He is someone I would have loved to have worked with, but I'm certainly looking forward to May 11th. It's at the Palais Theatre here in St Kilda, and I strongly urge your listeners to go and check it out because it is all the original David Bowie band members and Bernard Fowler, who sings with the Rolling Stones, who's doing the lead vocals. But that is certainly someone, in answer to your question, I would have loved to have worked with.
Wow. Warren Wills, thank you so much for your time this afternoon, and hopefully we'll chat soon with many more good shows to come.
Amit, thank you so much for having me on the show this week. sbs.com.au